Helaman chapter 7. In this chapter, Nephi returns from preaching to the people northward. And you have to remember that he felt to some degree he had established order and returned people to Christ in his own land before he had went off to the north. And he returns from the north quite sad because he's had no success up there. And this is something that we usually don't hear a lot about in the Book of Mormon, because we're always reading Scripture, always desiring this big success of bringing people unto the Lord or converting them or whatever we want to say. But we look for this success. But this shows us that we're not always to expect success, and again, it's the work of the Lord, and it's none of our business whether or not we get success. So we really have to ask ourselves: is this equal to having success for as far as Nephi is concerned? And the answer is yes, because the important thing for us or him to do is to do the will of the Lord. The result is none of our business. Our business is doing the will, and that's where we have a big mistake in doing missionary work or doing anything else. We expect to have a result, and that is not the key. The key is following the Lord and doing His will, and whatever happens, that's not your business. And we also notice that that's the true principle of freedom that the Lord has, that He just gives opportunities, but He does not force a result or require a result. It requires a certain result of your righteousness if you want to receive a blessing or if you want to receive further from Him. But the opportunities He creates for us, He does not force the result. And that's really what we're doing when we say, oh, we've got to have the result because I did all this work. And if you do it with that in mind, then you have not did it with a free heart, and you have not did it with a free gift to another person, and you've actually had in your mind that you're making a covenant or a contract with them, and you really have no right to do that or to force someone into a contract. Well, in verses 4 and 5, then, he goes on to describe the Gadianton robbers, and it's important to study this so that we and get the out of our mind that the idea that the devil wants. He wants to, again, with the devil, the devil himself wants you to make you think that he's all red with horns sticking on his head, and he's always running around doing devious things that it's really easy to see, and he's easy to recognize. And that's what we think when we hear Gadianton robbers. Well, we think that's then again it's some robber with in crummy clothes of a minority race and looking bad and so on and so forth. Instead of thinking what he really is, and he's a very good-looking man, dressed nice, white-skinned, and so on and so forth. This is what the devil puts out to deceive us. And as it says in verse 4, the Gadianton robbers were filling the judgment seat, having usurped the power and authority of the land. Well, this is even as today. I mean, that's what we have. And how do they do that? They get the best-looking people. They get us in our mind that it's nice-looking people is what are always good people. They associate that with good, and they do all these things, and all it is superficial. But the point is, it was the same there when the Gadiantons were flourishing. They took control of the government. They were running the government, and it said it explains what they were doing in government. They were condemning the righteous. What were they? See, they had usurped the power and authority. What's the opposite of power and authority? Freedom. So those who stood up for freedom, they were throwing them in jail because they would not obey their wicked laws. And just as today, when we have people who stand up, for instance, against the Internal Revenue Service, which completely does away with all the freedom and rights given in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and given in Scripture, and tells us that we serve government, and tells us we don't have the right to own our own property without having them be in control of it and taking whatever portion they want and so forth. But it's not important to sit and discuss that, but in the spirit we know there's something extremely wrong with the Internal Revenue Service and the way it intimidates and does its business, but nonetheless we support that. But what is it used for? Anyone who stands up in this country for freedom, it is used to put them in jail. And this is just one example of this. Then it says that the guilty and the wicked go unpunished because of their money. We know that to be true today, that it's totally based on how well you can put together your lawyers to play the game, again, the sign and covenant game with the judges and setting up their own language and their own technicalities and who can do that the best, then the people go free rather than what real justice is. And not only that, they did that to pervert the laws. It says down here later, what was one of their laws? Lying and adultery. But these go unpunished today. We don't have that anymore. So they've twisted the laws. They've made a mess of that. Now how about if a man catches someone in his family in adultery, and so he takes that action upon himself? Oh, he goes to jail, because for standing up for adultery, he goes to jail. How many of you know that of people who have came into... Have stopped someone from thieving, from stealing from them? Maybe they used a gun, and they said that's excessive force, so they go to jail because they stood up against thievery. So on and so on. These are the problems that we have in our country today, and we see that again, the righteous are condemned so that the wicked can go free, and it's the same thing. But again, notice that things like lying and adultery have been made law. Meaning made that it's all right, that it's not against the law. And then we have, then it says why. They did this to get the gain and the glory of the world. And think of that. Isn't that today? That's what our leaders want. They want the glory of men. That's what we all want. It's how you stood up. Are you upheld? Are you a great businessman? Are you this? Are you that? See, they want the glory of the world. I mean, this wasn't a thing where they snuck around and they felt all... like a thief having low self-esteem and so on and so forth. I mean, they probably felt that in their hearts as they do today, if they search their hearts, but they don't. But nonetheless, the devil helps them rationalize them by puffing them up and setting them on pedestals, and that's exactly what we have today. We don't talk about, is a man righteous to be our leader? And all we talk about is all the glory he receives, and we glorify him, and so on and so forth. Well, Nephi, he looked into the government. He could see the true nature of what was going on in his country. Again, what did it look like to the casual eye? Like, oh, everything's fine. Everybody's running around in nice suits. Everybody's saying everything's great, and everything seemed fine to them because they were obviously that's the spirit of everybody being glorified. Oh, gee, look at our wonderful leaders. Then they uphold them and so on, just like they do today. But he could see what was really going on. And it bothered him, and it made him sick, and he began to mourn for the people, and he cries about what terrible times he lives in to have to go through such sorrow. As the righteous today feel the same way. If you don't feel that way, you don't understand your times, and you don't understand that the Book of Mormon is speaking to you. It's for this people. It's for us. And so therefore, if this doesn't really bring you down as it does Nephi, then you do not understand our times. And you, in fact, are swayed away like the people that he was mourning for. But we'll see that because of this great mourning and the sorrow he has to go through, it is also preparing him and we'll see that. Well, this clearly causes him to feel bad. So he goes up on a tower and he bows down to the Lord and he begins to mourn. And this is in a garden, but he happens to have a house that's right by a busy road leading to town, and everybody coming by sees him, and they begin to gather around because they are astonished. Again, they are astonished and they marvel. Why? Because they think everything's fine. Look how wonderful this business is going. Business is going. Gee, we're prospering. Everything's great. Just like today. They couldn't understand why someone would mourn or feel like things are really bad today. That's it. So you've got to see in this that we're not talking, do not take the, let the devil put his spirit into you when we talk about Gadianton robbers. Gadianton robbers are the same as today. So therefore, then in about verse 17, he begins to tell them to repent and turn to the Lord. Who is the great prophet of their day? He is. You're going to find that he's the third Nephi, the greatest prophet in the Book of Mormon that's mentioned. And talked about, but we don't pay close attention to that. So due to this great sorrowing he's going through, he's well prepared, but he keeps his eye focused on the Lord. And what does the greatest prophet tell him to do? He tells them to turn to the Lord. He doesn't tell them to turn to him or turn to a church or church leaders or government. Don't you tell them that's what righteous is. Righteous is following the Lord, and he tells them to turn to the Lord. But he says that the Lord has forsaken them. Why? Why has the Lord forsaken them? He doesn't own them anymore. He's pushed them off. He's disowned them. Think what forsaken means. Goodness, it's terrible. Why did he forsake them? Is he forsaken us today? Because we've hardened our hearts. What does that mean? Now he defines harden his hearts. He says you will not receive the Spirit, the voice of the Lord, and that the Spirit comes to our emotion and our heart, and we have to find out in our heart, is what I'm doing is right? Is this good? Does it swell my heart? Does it make me feel good that I'm doing that? What I'm doing and everything makes me is right? When I sit in a business meeting, when I spend my life, whatever I do in my daily life, do I ask each day, is this good, Lord? Is this right? And then when it's not, do I try and figure out what's wrong and then continue on in the right way? This is following the Spirit. This is using personal revelation or inspiration. They hardened their heart to that. They didn't want to walk with the Spirit. They didn't want to govern their lives by the Spirit. So they had to harden it and put it off, because what, again, it shows here very clearly, the Lord is always reaching out. His Spirit's always there available for you. You have to harden your heart and put it off. And then it says why they did that. To get gain and the praise of men. Again, they cared about riches and they cared about the praise of man. And understand that. And why did so many go along with this, even though they didn't get that? Same as today. They kept their eyes on that, and they'd watch movies and everything else, and they feel the pride in their own heart, and they feel like, well, they get to share in that because they can see it. And in essence, it's in their heart, and they seek it too. Whether it's to them, it's a fantasy, and the other ones, it's a reality. But the fact of the matter is, those who receive the praise of man, it's a fantasy anyway. That's false. And when your eyes are open later, you'll see there was no value in that. The people really didn't love you. The people really didn't uphold you. They could care less. Once you were down, the only reason they upheld you is because they upheld their leaders or anybody else and put them on a pedestal. It's not because they care about that person or what he's done. It's because they like to fantasize that they're on that pedestal. But once something happens to you, once you're tarnished, they don't care about you anymore. They don't uphold you anymore. They want a new idol to put up there. They want a new false god to worship. They worship that praise. It's pride. It's pride in themselves. You're just a reflection of that pride. And that's what he said. And so why did he, again, does it say, that's why it says in verses 25 and 26, why they reunited with the Gadianton robbers, why they liked these flattering things. And it says, because pride was in their heart. In whose heart? The people's heart. They look up, they want to have this pride. They want to feel like they've made you, or they make you an idol. They want to feel like that. Try and feel that and see that. People truly, when they put others on pedestals and uplift them, they really don't care about those people. In fact, usually they hate them as today, and they talk about what terrible people they are and how they didn't deserve it. But again, what do they say in their heart? They think themselves are the one that should be lifted up, so they're lifting themselves up in their own minds. Well, then he tells them in verse 29, they either repent or they're going to lose their lands. I do want to back up to verse 21 a little bit and tell them what, repent of what? Now we notice it says repent of murder. What murder? Do you think it was to go up and stick a knife in someone and steal their wallet? No, it's just as today, having these little wars and things, believing in abortion. But see, I mean, they condoned all their murder with the law. And so as long as it went along according to the law, that's all it's time. Mostly in their case, it was war. Today we have war and abortion and other things, but we go along with that. That's okay. And then they believe in then they plunder. Again, we continue to see. They plunder and they steal. Meaning what, they go to court and they get the courts to steal somebody's property. They get the IRS to steal their property. They steal. But it also says plunder. Why is plunder different than steal? Plunder implies it's as today. We figure out a society or an economy based on someone else does the work, and then we get rich off of it. It's a plunder society. It's a plunder society today. And they bear false witness against their neighbor. They gossip against their neighbor. They say they when they go to court to sue them or whatever else, they create an image that wasn't true, or they paint a picture that's not true. They're not seeking truth. They're seeking their own advantage and their own gain, and so they'll paint any picture they want. to represent them as being in the right light and getting whatever they want out of it, but they're really not seeking for truth. And so it says that if they don't repent of these things and get rid of the Gadianton robbers, they're going to lose their lands and be destroyed. That's the same to us today. We're in exactly the same fix. And this has been told to us over and over and over again in the Book of Mormon. It's coming from the Lord, just as Nephi says here. He testifies to them. It's not of him. He's not the one telling them of their destruction and of losing their lands. He's telling them that this is of the Lord, and it's the Lord speaking. Notice that's how any true follower of the Jesus Christ who he has sent out to represent him acts, or what we would call today a leader of the church, says. They always will specifically claim that it comes from the Lord. If they do not, you know they are not of the Lord. And we don't have a single leader today talking to us, telling us that he's receiving these things from the Lord.